Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that you're able to spend these next few moments with me as we go into the Word of the Lord. I began sharing a message a couple broadcasts ago entitled The Barren Fig Tree, and we were looking, or are looking, at a parable found in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 9. And in context, because it's always important to consider context when we're looking at verse or verses of Scripture, that it does refer to the nation of Israel, who as a nation were more highly favored than any other nation. And God spared Israel for a season. He allowed them to receive the digging of the teaching of Jesus and the very proofs of His resurrection, yet many remained in unbelief, and they were cut off. We know that God is going to cause a remnant to be saved, and they will recognize Him whom they have pierced. They will say, "Blessed is He who cometh in the name of the Lord." And so there certainly was a very immediate application in those words of Jesus as He spoke to those who surrounded Him. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. However, while it's good to look at the immediate context of this passage of Scripture, I believe this parable contains a very solemn and searching lesson for each one of us today. There's much richness in this parable. The similarities, the context, the description that Jesus used of the fig tree, I think really relates to every believer, and we're going to look at that right now. First of all, what about its character? Well, obviously, if you have a garden or property, if you want fruit trees, it's certainly the right kind of tree if you want to have fruit. It's a valuable class of trees. Any fruit tree is considered important. In fact, as you read the Old Testament, when the Lord was giving specific instructions in Deuteronomy through Moses, He said, when you come against a city to besiege it, don't cut down the fruit trees. Any other tree that you might use for wood, that's fine. But, you know, do you have a problem? Or are they your enemies? Don't cut them down because they're useful for food. So here, the fig tree represents an individual soul, one who has been born from above. They've been birthed into the kingdom of God. They received a new nature. If any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And so they belong to the family of God. And certainly we all had at one time a dishonorable and disreputable character. But now we're classified as a Christian. He's put our sins, our transgressions, into the sea of forgetfulness. He remembers them against us no more. Remember, that's what Jesus came to do in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Him to preach good tidings to the meek, to set at liberty the captive, to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Why is He doing this? That we might be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So a fig tree, it's by very nature, by being a fig tree, is a good tree. It has the potential to be not only beautiful, but to produce fruit for the benefit of mankind. And of course, that's true of us. The Lord is looking for fruit in our lives. Now, it also had a very great privilege. What does the actual word of the Lord say? It says that it was planted in the vineyard. It didn't just grow by the wayside. It was very highly favored because it was personally chosen by the Lord of the vineyard. And furthermore, he carefully planted it. In other words, by that very assertion, we know that there was great care in the choosing of it and in the planting of it. Anyone that's done gardening, or I remember when I was in Tracy, my first dog just chewed up my, Sabrina chewed this tree that actually had three different kinds of fruit, and it just became a plum tree, but it was an excellent plum tree. Eventually that died, and I planted a lemon tree in its place. But I wanted to choose carefully. I wanted not a gigantic tree, but one of those small, the miniature ones. And so there was care even for myself, and I took time and care to make sure it was pruned and fertilized properly, because if it didn't, its leaves would turn yellow. So obviously, anyone that's planting a vineyard, anyone that's planting a grove or orchard of trees, fruit-bearing trees, would take some planning and care. It was personally chosen by the Lord. It was carefully planted in a very favorable place. It was within the enclosure and protection of the separating walls. It was under the immediate eye and hand of the skillful dresser. So what can we say about it? It was chosen, it was planted, it was supplied and protected. There's great privilege in all of that, and such is our privilege. Everyone who names the name of Jesus, we've been chosen by God. What a tremendous privilege. Jesus said, recorded in John the 15th chapter, verse 16, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit. This is our purpose. Isaiah 60:21 says, Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Beloved, we are the planting of the Lord. Doesn't Psalm 1 say that? He that meditates on the word of the Lord, he shall be as a tree planted by rivers of living water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we haven't been placed in a dry, barren desert. Oh, sometimes it might feel like that. But no, spiritually, we are in a place of blessing. We're by rivers of water. Now, let's look a little bit further at this fruit tree that Jesus was addressing, a type, if you will, of a believer. It was a good tree. Its character was good. It had great privilege, but there was a problem. It was fruitless. And it reminds us, actually, as we hear the words of Jesus, it reminds me of the exhortations that Jesus gave to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. He said, repent unless I remove your lampstand. He was speaking to the seven churches of his day, of the time of John, but also many scholars believe that it refers to the church ages, the times in which the church will be allowed to continue until the return of the Lord. So, what do we see? The owner of the vineyard came, sought fruit, and found none. And is this possible? Well, yes, and apparently it's far too common a problem. Who's to blame? Well, not the ground, surely, not the dresser, but the tree. The tree bears the guilt for refusing or neglecting to rise up to its great opportunity and privilege to bear fruit in the owner's vineyard. Think about this. This tree was not planted for an ornament, not merely to be fed to receive the careful attention and time of the dresser, but it had a greater purpose, to be profitable to the owner of the vineyard, of the orchard. And it might boast of its leaves, its life, its opportunities, but think about this. There was nothing to satisfy the Lord. Now, I'd like to have us look at another parallel scripture, if you would, found in Mark the 11th chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 12. It said in that preceding, in the context, Jesus had entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when it was evening time, he went out back to Bethany. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, see, he was going back to Jerusalem, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he spoke to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Well, of course, they went on to Jerusalem, and when it was nighttime, they went back to Bethany. And then in the next morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter said, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, said, have faith in God. Whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. So the point is, he was teaching a lesson about faith. But, you know, just reading it on the surface, we might say, well, I don't understand, Lord, because my goodness, the scriptures say it wasn't the time of figs, and he cursed the poor tree because it didn't have figs. That seems very unjust and unkind of the Lord Jesus. Well, let me just share this, beloved. Christ was not being unreasonable. He had the right to expect figs. Listen to this. The fruit of the fig tree always appears before the leaves. It's the only tree in the world that bears two crops of fruit per year. And of course, the usual summer crop is not gathered until May or June. But in the sunny ravines of Olivet, the fig trees could have ripe fruit some weeks earlier. It's not strange that as early as Easter or Passover, Christ might find the young eatable figs, although it was not the usual quote-unquote season for gathering fruit. So I hope that helps to display the perhaps confusion and lack of understanding you had regarding that scripture, because he was not unjust. He had a right to expect some of the first ripe figs. Praise God. Well, my time again has just flown by, and we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can join me. Beloved partners, I want to thank you so much for your prayers and your financial support. If it weren't for your faithfulness, we couldn't stay on this station. Next year, we'll be celebrating 50 years of ministry. All glory to Jesus. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass A. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.